Yesterday, Keshav Bharti Maharaj sent me a story, which, well, I asked him to track down what its origin is. I suspect it's a local tradition in the temple regarding Dwarkadish. Dwarka, as devotees know, is the place where Krishna lived for most of the time in his pastimes here on earth. And it was from there that he actually also left this world. It's the replica of the celestial Dwarka in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan has different divisions. Mathura, Dwarka, sometimes the two are described as being synonymous, Vrindavan and Navadvip. Those are the different compartments of Goloka Vrindavan. And in Goloka, Krishna is worshipped with a mixture of spontaneous and regulated devotion. So it lacks the spontaneity that one can witness in Vrindavan. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes how when Arjuna was bringing the survivors, the queens and other elders who had actually survived the fratricidal war that took place further south at Prabhas, when he was bringing them back to Hastinapur, then he could see that as they were on the mainland, that Dwarka sank into the ocean. Even today, there are many archaeological excursions and finds in that area. There are huge walls stretching for miles and miles into the ocean, as well as palaces and so many artifacts that confirm that there was actually a city over here, and that that city had submerged. People sometimes speculate that this is the equivalent of the mythological Atlantis, which is known in different cultures around the world to be a city where very highly advanced people, a very highly advanced civilization thrived, and then somehow mysteriously the entire ocean engulfed the entire city, and it disappeared from view. Srila Prabhupada, to the best of my knowledge, never equated the two. But for sure, that Dwarka continues to exist beneath the sea. And in two places, deities are being worshipped. One is on the mainland, and then there's another island that's supposed to be, I think, the remnant of the location where actually the Dwarka Island was. I've never been there. I'd really like to go sometime. Mahavishnu Maharaj used to always invite me to come, and it's not close, it's far away, and the idea of especially going to India, traveling to the other side of the country, just never appealed to me enough to go there. But one day I will, for the sake of making a pilgrimage. Anyhow, let's get to this story, which is an instructive story that devotees can meditate on during the day. The story goes that the temple cleaner, a devotee, who was accustomed to cleaning the temple, he was thinking that Poor Kadisha is sitting here, standing here all day long, smiling, giving blessings, not saying a word. Whatever takes place in front of him, he maintains this composure and always standing. He must be very tired. With this sort of meditation in mind, he was thinking that if I could, I would relieve the Lord of this burden at least for a day so that he could rest. Of course, Krishna is never tired in that way, and it's not exactly the ideal meditation to think about, you know, how I would become Krishna. But the Lord reciprocated with the desire of the devotee, and he spoke to him and said, "All right, I appreciate that you want to render this service. So tomorrow I'll transform you into a likeness of me. And you'll stand on the altar, and you offer your blessings, smile, stand in one place, and like me, whatever happens, you don't say anything. You understand? You just don't say anything. And I'll rest." So it was like that. And then the next day, there was the devotee, sweeper, was transformed into a likeness of Dwarkadish, and he stood on the altar, and he watched all of the pilgrims and devotees coming and going, and did as he was told. He smiled, offered benedictions, didn't move, didn't say anything. And so it went on like that until one wealthy merchant came. And the wealthy merchant offered a sizable donation, and he prayed to the Lord that please increase my wealth, please protect my family, let our family business thrive in the way that materialistic devotees pray. And looking upon the Lord, the merchant saw how he was smiling and felt that he was receiving his blessings. He bowed down and he left in happiness, thinking that his prayers had been answered. But what he didn't notice was that he dropped his wallet. And so his wallet was there. But because the sweeper, now looking like a deity, was held to the promise of not saying anything, so he didn't say anything. And the wealthy man walked out, oblivious to the fact that he'd lost his wallet. Next comes in a devotee, very, very poor devotee, who prays to the Lord, gives just a coin donation, all that he had in his possession, and prays to the Lord, saying, if you would just help me become a little wealthier, I don't need any wealth for myself, but then I could render so much better service to you. I could build a temple, I could spread your glories, and in so many ways I could render service. And he bowed before the Lord, and when he got up, he saw that in front of him was this wallet. He took this to be the Lord's blessing. And he thanked the Lord profusely and went out very blissful, thinking that immediately Lord Dwarkadish had answered his prayer by giving him this additional wealth. After this comes in a sailor. And the sailor bows down and he prays. And he prays to the Lord, "I'm just about to go out on a sailing excursion. Please protect me so that I may be able to have a good catch. I may be able to sell that, come back, render you some more service, and be able to direct my family towards you. Just as the sailor bows down, in comes the rich man with some policemen, guards, king's men, and saying, my wallet has dropped, someone has stolen my wallet. And the only person present there was the sailor. So they immediately accused him and were about to haul him off to prison. At this stage, the devotee, come deity, thought that now he has to say something. So he spoke up. He said, "No, you're mistaken. I'm here. I'm standing on the altar. It's not the sailor who stole the wallet, but rather the poor man found it, and he is the one who walked off with it." Obviously, the sailor was overjoyed to hear that, and as was the wealthy man who got back his wealth, and the poor man ended up in jail. So when Krishna came back in the evening, he asked the devotee, "So how did it go?" And the devotee replied, "Well," he told him the story. And when he told him the story, thinking that he had really done a good deed and prevented a miscarriage of justice from taking place, Krishna became very angry. He said, "Why did you interfere? Don't you understand?" He said, "That wealthy man, what he gave me was a pittance in comparison to what he has. I wanted him to lose his wallet so that the devotee could put his money to good use. He would have performed all kinds of devotional activities on my behalf, from which the wealthy man would have actually benefited. And obviously, so would have the poor man. Moreover, the sailor who came in, although he would have ended up in jail for some time, it would have become obvious that he was not the thief because he didn't have any money on him. But the benefit would have been is that he wouldn't have gotten on the boat that was leaving the harbor to go out on the fishing excursion, a boat that was destined to sink, and everyone aboard them were also meant to die. He would have lived. Now, he's on that boat, and he's going to die. The innocent, poor devotee is in jail, and the rich man is not getting the benefit of his wealth. So you have really interfered with my plans, thinking that you know better." So the moral of this tale is that Vaishnavas should have faith and trust in Krishna's plan. Even we may immediately think that we know better because we see some kind of development which we think would have a more favorable result than that of the Lord. We should have faith. We should always act with full faith in the will of the Lord and accept His plan for us without making any extraordinary efforts to change our own fate, and knowing that ultimately Madhuryena Samarpayat, everything will come out in the best way possible when we're dependent on Krishna. So that's some meditations today for devotees. Hare Krishna, and see you tomorrow.